Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And I want to open the phones now to follow up on the conversation we had yesterday about the firing of the Rutgers basketball coach. And today's question is, what role does yelling, cursing, and insulting people play in motivating them to perform? And I would love to hear from any kind of athletic coach. Does that play a role at all? 212-433-WNYC. And I would love to hear from anyone who's been in the military. On Reddit right now, there's a related thread of comments in their Ask Reddit section that begins with the question, military members of Reddit, what are the best insults you can remember from your drill instructor in boot camp? Ha! And you can imagine what's getting posted there today. A lot of it would have to be bleeped if I read it on the radio. One near the top says, a drill instructor talking to two people, if you don't shut up right now, I'm going to effing stick my foot up your bleeps and wear you around like a couple of autistic flip-flops, unquote. So it includes not just belligerence and obscenity, but also the offensive language about a disabled group that was included in that. And, of course, we can't verify that exact incident or quotes, just something somebody posted on Reddit. But the point is that the question was asked. And responses are coming in rife with that kind of thing. Does anyone doubt that that sort of thing would have been said? So the question for you is, what role does yelling, cursing, and insulting people play in motivating them to perform in your experience? We want people with personal experience calling on this. I would love to hear from any kind of athletic coach, as I said. I would love to hear from anyone who's been in the military, and for that matter, anyone in management of any kind. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You know, someone here this morning told me that her high school band conductor used to insult some of the musicians, high school musicians. He told one kid he was a good-for-nothing who would end up mowing lawns and sent him out to pick some grass to get him ready for his career. Yikes, I'll probably get somebody fired today. Does yelling, cursing, and insulting people have a place in training folks for, maybe it's for conflict, you know? Maybe this is used for sports and war, where it doesn't come into play in other settings. Is that why these stories come out of coaching and boot camp? I'll ask the Reddit question in a different way. What are the biggest insults you have dished out or had thrown at you by a boss or a coach in any setting? 212-433-WNYC. You know, if you were the insulter, did you do it because you lost control and you regret it, or because it was strategic motivation? Some of these stories end with extreme loyalty to the coaches or the drill sergeants involved. And if you were the insultee, does this ever work to make you a better person or a better worker or to be loyal to your supervisor or only to demean and demoralize you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. When we come back from the break, we'll start to take your calls, and we'll also play a clip from yesterday's show where somebody was dissenting from the notion that this coach should have been fired, and there is some value to this kind of thing. So we'll replay that, and we'll take your calls. 212-433-WNYC. What role does yelling, cursing, and insulting people play in motivating them or you to perform? WNYC. So, okay, what role does yelling, cursing, and insulting people play in motivating them to perform? Robert in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Brian. Let me say this. I've been a coach in little leagues from very, you know, elementary school up to high school, mm-hmm. baseball, mm-hmm. A little bit in soccer. And I think that there is no call ever for cursing at a player or any type of slur at a player, or even insulting a player, but yelling, not yelling at, but yelling to players, to position, to, you know, even at a pitcher to say, throw him inside, you know, jam him, things like that, and being exuberantly positive in yelling, basically, with the team, mm-hmm. that it's something good they did versus something against the other team.
Right. It's a whole other category of yelling, though. It's just speaking in a loud voice. Yeah.
You know, in other words, a coach should not demean players. Why? They're his team. And he's got to make them work like a machine.
Robert, thank you. So I'll replay part of a call now from yesterday's show when we were talking about Rutgers. Most people clearly thought the coach had committed a firing offense. But Stephen in Manhattan said the suspension and fine should have been enough and that there is some value in tough language coaches like Mike Rice sometimes use. He even dismissed this caller. You'll hear it. He dismisses a racial slur used by a coach in a summer basketball camp against him. Listen.
This is not a chess coach. This is a basketball coach. And he's got these bodies, these finely trained athletes who are very strong, who are very physical, who trade elbows, getting rebounds, and come flying through the air. I didn't see anything that the coach did to any of these athletes that would compare to what they would expect to encounter in the game. I did go to some of the premier basketball camps in New York State and the country, and a coach that you mentioned, I'm an African-American, mm-hmm. a coach that you mentioned, pushed me during a demonstration and called me a little monkey. And that was Bobby Knight. And so, you know, we've gotten to a point where we insulate our children and our young men who are old enough to go to war so much that when they're dealt some blows in life later on, they're not willing or able to cope with them.
Caller Stephen in Manhattan on yesterday's show, and I'll say as I did yesterday that, of course, we can't verify that Bobby Knight, the legendary coach who we mentioned by name, actually did what he said he did there. But the point of replaying it was the end where he says if we're going to prepare people for going to war, use that example, and by implication he was saying for life in general, for the rough and tumble, I think he was implying – then we shouldn't be so precious about all this. So what do you think? 212-433-WNYC. And again, we're not just looking for your opinions. We're looking for people who have personal experience on either side of being the insulter or the insultee. 212-433-9692. Roland calling from Washington, D.C. You're on the air. Roland, thank you so much for calling up.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
You're making it sound in a simple manner that it can't be defined so simply. I mean, I was a football player and an Army officer, and obviously I went through Army basic training. But later on, I was a training officer who oversaw a drill sergeant, and I would never let my drill sergeants use race or make some kind of pejorative comment about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a physical thing. And I bet today that there are young men and not-so-young men walking around home in Providence who are being very thankful for one of my drill sergeants back at Fort Jackson who helped them physically get over a certain hump. And with respect to sports, with young athletes, you have to do things that help them realize that they can go to a higher limit than they think they can. In the pros, and to a degree in college, and I've been a coach, it doesn't work quite so well. The coach cannot go up to a $4 million a year running back and call him a name,
yeah,
or kick him in the butt.
Right.
But to a middle school kid who thinks that he can't do grass drills in an 85-degree day in a Long Island sun, he can. My college football coach, who had been an All-American at a Big Ten school, had a sign on his desk which said, "We do something 1,000 times a week on the practice field so that we can do it once right on Saturday afternoon." In my Army office, I had a sign on my desk which said, "More sweat in training, less blood in combat."
Yeah. Do you think it generalizes? And I hear you, Roland, and I hear you talking about these physical activities of the military and of sports. Do you think it generalizes at all to other walks of life?
No. I mean, I've got a cousin who went to a medical residency where he had to endure long hours, and he complained that an attending medical school professor said that this was part of his paying his dues. You don't want an 85-hour resident operating on your 3 o'clock in the morning.
Roland, I hear you, and I'm going to move on, but thank you very much. I really appreciate what you added to the conversation. Kitty in Westfield has a boss insult story or a boss rage story. Hi, Kitty.
Hi, Brian.
So what happened?
Yeah. Well, I had a boss once, and this has to be one of the more colorful insults I've received, who was generally not a bad boss in most respects, but, you know, she had her moments. And at one point we were talking, and she was in a foul mood and didn't like the expression on my face, apparently, and threatened to rip my eyebrows out. and the irony is...
rip your eyebrows out?
Yeah, apparently I was raising my eyebrows in a somewhat, I guess, offensive manner.
Offensive eyebrow raising. Stamp out offensive eyebrow raising.
Humanitarian aid agency, so...
That was at a humanitarian aid agency?
Yeah. Wasn't sports or military. Kind of not the place you'd expect that kind of behavior. But.
Yes, Kitty, thank you very much. By the way, this just in, appropriately so, and no surprise to me, Tim Pernetti, out as the Rutgers athletic director, the supervisor of Coach Rice, who had seen that video and only took the more mild disciplinary action that he had taken. I think everybody saw that coming, and now it's official. Tim Pernetti out, announced by the Associated Press just a few minutes ago as the Rutgers athletic director. So thinking about these coaches, we thought about Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights. And firm but fair is probably the description a lot of people agree on for a good coach. New York Magazine made a nice little montage of Coach Taylorisms. Maybe this walks up to the line and doesn't cross it.
And this is our time. This is your time. I want you to know I'm proud to take the field with you. I have never been more proud of a team than I am right now. You be proud of yourselves, because, gentlemen, you are champions.
Take that with you, carry it, and we're going to build on it.
Let's go get them.
They're done.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
All right. Well, that's all sappy positive stuff, right, from television. I thought he was going to be a little tougher in some of those. Clear eyes, full heart. Can't lose. Marie in Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marie.
Yes, hi. You want my story?
I sure do.
We're in litigation right now, actually, so I have to be careful to not to say who I am and where I'm from.
Okay.
But I was a former trustee in a community. We had certain concerns about a coach. While the former superintendent did not act, our new superintendent did. And the coach was dismissed. There was a terrible outcry from the community because he was a coach that won many games. And there were personnel issues, so that his behavior was not something that could be discussed in public.
What was the alleged behavior?
The alleged behavior was pushing students, cursing at them, cursing at referees to the point where some referees refused to participate in our games. We didn't have a paper trail, which again was a concern of our administration.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, a paper trail was established, and thereafter, the individual was dismissed.
So, besides the legal question of proof, is there also in your community any pushback along the lines of, "Oh, this is not so bad. Stop being so thin-skinned. The kids benefit from this in some way."
Absolutely. There were parents, both pro and, you know, were for the coach, others that were against. The ones that were against the coach would not reveal themselves. They were afraid of repercussions, so they did not come to the meetings. So only those parents that were for the coach came to the meetings, and they quite frankly were abusive to the board, who had to sit and remain silent.
Marie, thank you very much for chiming in on that. So that shows how this plays out in one community. All right, let's get a couple of more quick insults in the workplace stories. Matthew in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Right to it.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, right to it.
So I worked for an appellate court judge and as a law clerk, and he was known for being fairly harsh with his law clerks. And at one point I had turned something in and got it back, and it was marked in red. And he had, in one part of the memo, he had circled a sentence and simply wrote above it, "Jesus wept."
So does that count? Is that in the same? So a little sarcasm there.
Yeah.
Is that in the same category?
That was the G-rated comment that he had left. Many others weren't nearly
right.
as.
But it was an insult. Yeah. So where's the line between constructive criticism and insult? And Mike in Montclair, you're on the line. Hi, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's your story, real quick?
So I worked in the restaurant industry for a while, and there was this one restaurant I worked at in Virginia where it was kind of this – I got the job there, and it was like this kind of known thing that, you know, everyone there is really harsh, and people quit all the time because of how harsh people are. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I can do this. Like, how harsh could it be? And so, you know, the first day upon working there, I'm just so, like, heavily insulted by one of the waiters on the wait staff, and I'm just, like, so confused as to why, like, on my first day, they would even, you know, take the time to insult me so badly and hurt my feelings so badly. And it seems to me like it's this, like, this power struggle where people need to, like, maintain this sense of power, but at the same time, it's like,
That's okay, and I get that power dynamic. They're like, you kid are not an equal. I'm above you.
Yeah, and it's like, it's this whole thing to maintain this structure of hierarchy when, you know, when in fact, why not just be inclusive so I'm actually not feeling like I'm walking on eggshells every time I step into the kitchen.
Mike, thank you. So obviously you think it backfired, but insults in pursuit of the power hierarchy. And that's going to be our last call on this. Thanks for so many interesting thoughts. You can keep the conversation going on our various pages, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or on Facebook. And to that second to last caller who was bullied as a law clerk, or insulted at least, about Jesus weeping and things like that, Stephen Harper is our next guest, author of a new book called The Lawyer Bubble, on what to do about the oversupply of attorneys and law school students in America right now. Stay with us.